May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There is a line from the movie Ant-Man that my husband Dan and I like to quote to each other. Ant-Man is one of those somewhat recent Marvel superhero movies that has come out. And in the movie, Ant-Man, who also so happens to be just a regular dad, he gives a stuffed bunny to his daughter as a birthday present. This bunny is not like a regular bunny, though. It doesn't have fuzzy fur and cute floppy ears and big eyes. No, it is a different bunny. It's sort of mangy looking. And it has these pointy, crooked teeth that stick out of its mouth. And when you press the bunny's stomach, it emits this sort of grinding sound, and then it says in a goofy voice, "You're my best friend." And you look at this bunny, this creepy bunny, and you think, no little girl is going to be pleased to receive this as a birthday present. What is he doing? That thing is hideous. But he gives her the gift, and she looks at it, and she proclaims, "It's so ugly! I love it!" It's so ugly. I love it. Maybe you have been blessed to have an especially mangy dog or feral cat in your life. Perhaps you've had a snaggle-toothed pet or a worn childhood toy, so you can get the sentiment. I think this is why people love chihuahuas and bulldogs, right? Myself included, they're so ugly that you can't help but love them. It's so ugly, I love it. That sentiment is just a little bit like where we are going today, to the cross. The cross is an ugly thing, far uglier than any poorly chosen stuffed toy or bug-eyed little chihuahua. The ugliness of the cross is somewhat masked today because the cross has become such a common symbol for Christians and Christianity. We're used to seeing it everywhere. We wear it in jewelry, right? Probably a few of you out there are wearing it today. We paint it in beautiful artwork. We see it gilded in gold and silver in our sanctuaries. Just look at our cross images here at St. Stephen's. This beautiful hand-carved cross that we process in and out kind of victoriously every week. On the far altar there, our gold cross that seems to kind of shine and shimmer. All of this tends to make us forget what the cross first really was. Not the beautiful symbol of a world religion, but an instrument of torture and execution in an ancient culture. That is what the disciple Peter knows the cross as. It's probable that when Jesus tells Peter he's going to have to pick up his cross, Peter probably has an image in mind. He's probably seen a cross. He has a picture in mind from a time when he was walking along the road outside the city, and he witnessed just to what extent the Romans would go to deter criminals and maintain control, when he witnessed people crucified outside the city. An ugly scene. Our gospel story takes place right after Peter declares Jesus as Messiah. And in turn, Jesus calls Peter the rock on which he will build the church. That was a good moment. Like I said with the kids, that was a moment when Peter got the right answer. So Peter now is understandably confused when Jesus starts to tell them that even though he is Messiah, he must suffer and die. That's why Peter doesn't get it when Jesus tells them they will have to pick up their cross. Jesus is the Messiah. He can do anything. He's going to bring them victory and glory and power, right? He's going to restore God's people to their proper place, right? He's going to free them from oppression under Roman rule, right? Wrong, Jesus says. I am going to suffer and die on the cross. And you, Peter, in turn, you will have a cross to bear too. For many of the disciples, it will be a literal cross. And the cross is an ugly thing. Our Reformation theme today for our series on the Protestant Reformation is theology of the cross. And the idea of theology of the cross is that God is most clearly found in those places where we would least expect to encounter God. We expect to encounter God in, say, a lovely sunset, a loving moment with our family, a beautiful piece of music, perhaps, a great view of the ocean, a special day like a wedding or a big birthday, or maybe Christmas Eve here in the sanctuary with candlelight all around. Those are places where we expect to encounter the goodness and holiness of God. But theology of the cross tells us that that's not necessarily so. Theology of the cross tells us that where we may least expect to see God, in, say, an argument with a loved one, in the aftermath of a devastating hurricane or earthquake, in the brokenness of a relationship, on a really horrible, terrible, no good, very bad day, in death, on the cross, in all those dark and difficult places where we might least expect to encounter God, theology of the cross tells us that is precisely where God will show up. Theology of the cross helps us to know that just because someone is wealthy or healthy or happy doesn't mean that God is with them and has chosen them. And just because someone is poor or unhealthy or unhappy doesn't mean that God has abandoned them or punished them. Rather, God is especially found with those who are poor or ill or unhappy. God is especially found not in life's beauty, but in life's ugliness. Because that is when you really need God. God is found on the cross. Theology of the cross means that the cross is so ugly, we love it. Like the little girl and her ugly, hideous stuffed bunny, we know that hidden in the ugliness is a gift from a loving parent. Because as Christians, we know that the cross is where God is. We know that those moments when we are down or devastated or heartbroken or lost, that is where God is. In those moments when we are in pain or grieving or ill, that is where God is. We know that when our loved one faces death, or we lose everything we have, or we hear of yet another natural disaster taking the lives of people, that is where God is. In our second reading today, Martin Luther told us that a theologian of the cross tells it like it is. They don't call evil good and good evil. A theologian of the cross calls a thing what it is. Because God is found in ugliness doesn't mean that we pretend everything is okay. It doesn't mean we're delusional. We still admit when things suck. We don't love those moments because we're gluttons for punishment or we're masochists or we delight in the suffering of others. We love those moments because we love our God. And our God is one who goes into every ugliness and brokenness and pain of this world to be with us when and where we need God most. And because God comes to be with us in those ugly moments, in our ugly moments, we are empowered to be with others in their ugly moments too. That's what it means to pick up the cross and follow. To be willing to forget our own self-interest, to abandon our sense of safety and security, and to risk for the sake of the gospel, to risk for the sake of bringing the good news of God's presence to others amidst their pain and heartache. Because it is in losing your life, it is in losing yourself that you truly find what life is all about. does it mean for us to lose our lives? What does it mean? Well, us losing our life may mean sacrificial giving. It may mean giving more of your money, your possessions, your time to service in the church or the world, giving to the point where you have to give up something that you really want, and trusting that God will use the resources that you give to help make someone else's life better. It may mean learning to take better care of yourself. That's right, losing yourself might actually mean learning to take better care of yourself. Sometimes we forget that in order to serve others, we ourselves must be rested and spiritually nourished and emotionally fed. Losing your life may mean giving up some of the 100 tasks you are supposed to get done and recognizing that the world does not rotate on what you do and do not accomplish. It might mean taking time to do something truly fulfilling so that you can continue to serve God and others for many years to come. It may mean sacrificing your ideas, giving up ideas you have about a certain group of people, immigrants and refugees, members of the Black Lives Matter movement, Muslims, lesbian, gay, or transgender folks. Who do you make assumptions about? Losing your life may mean giving up your preconceived notions about someone else so that you can learn to listen to their pain and better love and serve them amidst the ugly moments of life. What does it mean for us together as a church, as St. Stephen's? What does it mean for us together to lose our life, to lose our sense of self, our security, our safety for the sake of others? It may mean abandoning our old ways, our old traditions, for the sake of embracing new life-giving ways. It may mean giving up the idea that everyone should come to church every week on Sunday morning in order to be a part of our community. It may mean finding new times and days and ways to worship God that include a wider variety of people. People that have different schedules and different families and different religious upbringings or no religious upbringing at all. It may mean giving up some of the things that we love, giving up some of the things that have meant so much to us here in this place over the years, some of the things that we are comfortable with in order to make someone else more comfortable, like embracing different music or a different language, or another style of prayer, like occasionally calling God mother instead of father, or adopting more contemporary language in, say, the Lord's Prayer. It might be tough for us as individuals and as a church to take up our cross. We might not like it. It might get ugly. But that's okay, because we know that God is in the ugliness. God is in all the dark and difficult and challenging moments of life. And so it's so ugly, we love it. We love it. We can love all the terrible and difficult and ugly moments of life. None of them is a waste because we know that Jesus is right there with us in those times, loving us all along the way. Thanks be to God. Amen.